So last week, we had this worship service, and it was a really beautiful service. The music was really good. We had a baptism. I gave this sermon about Mary, and I'm standing out in the hallway, which I do after worship each week. And you guys are very kind. You come out and you shake my hand, and some people say, hey, good talk, you know, way to go. But my friend Basil often has a word for me after worship, something that he hears, and it's usually a pretty positive word. And Basil says, well, Mary was amazing, but what about Joseph? And I said, well, the good news is if you come back next week, I'm going to deal with Joseph. So here we are. This is all because of Basil. Everything is because of Basil, that we're going to deal with Joseph this week, and we're going to talk about him. I mean, think about this story. Mary and Joseph are supposed to be married, right? It's a big deal. They're a couple who were betrothed to each other, and what that meant in the first century, that they had done step one of marriage. It wasn't like, oh, they had just said, hey, let's get married. They were very committed to each other. They had done the normal things that couples had done. Right? They had gone to the knot.com and set up their page, right? She had picked out the bridesmaids' dresses. They had tasted the cake and gotten the DJ and gotten the venue, and all was going well. Now, you might say, hey, Tim, none of that happened in the first century. But the picture that I want to give you this morning is this was a real thing. They were very committed to each other. Mary was very committed to him. He was very committed to her. And I can't imagine, because the scripture doesn't give you what happens in between, but I can only imagine Mary coming and saying, hey, Joseph, like, things are going well for the wedding. Right? All the plans are going real well. But I got to tell you something. This might be big news to you, but I'm pregnant. But don't worry, it's God's baby, right? It's okay. I mean, and we're going to raise it together, and all's going to be well. And I think so often when we read the scripture, we think that this is the moment where Joseph comes up and just gives Mary a big high five, like, yeah! But I don't think that's what happens. I don't think that's what happens. I can imagine Joseph taking a step back and saying, wait a minute. Stop talking just for a second. Don't tell me everything this messenger said to you. For just a minute, I need to process. This is life-changing news for them. Big deal what's coming at him. It's going to change the rest of their lives. So he says, I just need a moment. Y'all, this is the, if you're watching Christmas movies at all right now, this is the climax, right? This is the thing that happens that you go, will he stay or will he go? How will he respond? What's he going to do? And Jeff's monologue this morning would have been a very natural response for Joseph to have. A very natural response for him to say, no, 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 no. Because see, he knew the law. He knew what he had to do. I mean, Deuteronomy 22 was very clear, and he would have studied the law. And the law said that he had to turn her in. If she came to him and she was pregnant, he had to turn her in, and what would happen was she would be publicly humiliated and then potentially executed. That's what he knew was supposed to happen. But what does Joseph do? Some people might know the story, but I want to read it to you this morning because I think there are powerful things that come out of Joseph's response. In Matthew, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, y'all know what that means, right? Okay. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So last week, I don't know if you were here, but if you were, you might remember me saying Mary had choices, right? She could have made a different decision that she made. And I think so often when we read this story, we go, yeah, this is just the way it was supposed to go. I want to give you a word this morning. I think Joseph had choices too. I think Joseph had options. He could have made a different decision. We've been in this sermon series, What If?, looking at what would have happened if people made different decisions. And Joseph, friends, could have made a different decision. What if he chose anger? What if instead of simply saying, okay, Mary, we're going to process this and I'm going to walk through this with you, he chose anger? What if he said, I'm so mad that this happened. This is going to be so embarrassing. I don't care what the angel messenger said. I'm turning her in. What if that had happened? What if that had been his response? I mean, it says in the scripture, Joseph was faithful to the law, meaning he followed the law and he did what the law said. If that's true, then what he had to do was turn her in. That was what he had to do. Based on the law, Mary was to be marked as unfaithful. She was to be publicly humiliated. I mean, that was the only response, right? Joseph could have screamed out publicly at her and said, I can't believe you did this. Why would you do this to me? But I think that's the power in the words, because look at what he does. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Why is that word quietly in there? He could have thrown it out and he could have said from the mountaintops, I didn't do this, everybody. This is not my baby. Let me get out of the way. She needs to be in trouble for this. But instead, he was just going to let her go quietly. And he would have had to tell all his family and friends why she was gone. What had happened to her? What happened in this story? But Joseph wasn't doing it the way the law said. This week in our life group of young professionals, we were having this conversation about Micah chapter 6, which Joseph would have understood, right? Where Micah the prophet says to the people, what does the Lord require of you? To do justly and to love mercy or love kindness and to walk humbly. And we had this challenge in our conversation, and we said, what happens when those things come in conflict with each other? Like when doing justice doesn't match up with being kind. And I said, wow, I don't know that I'd spend a lot of my life thinking about that. Because for Joseph in this moment, what would doing justice have looked like? Doing justly would have been turning her in. So in our group, we said, then how do you discern? How do you decide what order you put these in? And we said, let's go to the words before them. Do justly, but love mercy. Love kindness. That word, I believe, is intentional in there. Joseph loved kindness. We see that from his response in this moment. Joseph loved Mary, and I believe that somewhere deep down inside of him, Joseph loved this child. Joseph had a love. I mean, look, if you find out you're going to be a parent, there's this love that wells up in you before you ever meet the child. And it seems to me that that's what's happening. He loved in a crazy, unexplainable way that led him to the only what-if option he could choose. In his mind, he couldn't even choose anger. He could only choose love. That was his response in that moment. A couple of weeks ago, we had a breakfast with Santa here at Restoration. It's always a fun event. It's one of the events I look forward to. And Brian, our AV guy, who just does a fantastic job making sure everything sounds good, he went and shot some video. And I want you to see some video of our breakfast with Santa that will demonstrate this concept of love just a little bit.
I love everything about my grandkids. I love that they're all so unique and different.
They both love each other and they try to listen mostly to us.
They're always there to help, that they're kind, they're friendly.
The thing I really love about my kids is they're really good friends.
What I love about my kids is their sense of adventure, their willingness to take risks, the way they love people.
I love that each of my kids are unique, that they're different, and that they love us in their own way, that they use their gifts to do things that are really cool.
I love their innocence, their joy. They always have joy, a joyful spirit.
I love their passion for their faith and their willingness to share that, and their Sense of wonder. It's one of the things I love watching through my kids' eyes, how they see the world.
One of my favorite things about you guys is that you never give up. You try your best and you put your all into everything you do, and I'm so proud of you.
They take care of us and they love us.
They're very supportive of every decision and they're just very kind.
I love my parents because they take me to all my sports practices and games almost every day.
I love how my mom and dad take me places that they're nice and that they care about me.
They love us very much and they take care of us.
And they
help us with our schoolwork and stuff.
Yeah, and they really care about us.
I promised my kids weren't paid to say that there at the end. But there's this idea of love that seems to come through Joseph's response. There's this idea of kindness and care that comes through. What do you love about this kid seems to be the thing that Joseph is answering before he ever meets this child of God. We're not given much about Joseph. Do you notice that in the Bible? He sort of disappears. Right, you get this story, but I think we're given more in his response than we're given on many other biblical characters that we read about a ton. Joseph's response was one of love. Joseph doesn't say, actually he doesn't say, give me a lot more information. He simply says, I want to be with you. I want to love you. I want to journey with you. I think there's something big that's going on here, friends. I think there's something big in this message that the messenger brings to Joseph that shifts his thinking, and I want to read that to you again. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The messenger gives Joseph this conversation about eternity right here. That's what the messenger's bringing. It's a message about eternity. And Joseph would have been very aware of the scripture that would have said, be aware that a Messiah is coming. He would have understood that. He would have read that and he would have studied that and he would have followed that. So he knew that a Messiah was coming. And what the messenger said is, the Messiah is here. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah will be here before you know it, and that Messiah is going to change your world. The Messiah is going to change the whole world, and Joseph had to live into a moment where he was thinking about eternity. See, I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing about eternity as a someday thing. I grew up hearing about eternity as eternity in heaven as a contrast to eternity in hell. Right? You want to do good so that you end up in heaven, because there's an alternative to that. And I think what Joseph understood was something that I've come to understand later in life, that Jesus the Messiah does not come for the someday. Jesus the Messiah comes for the right now. That Christ transforms Joseph's life the moment he gets the message that he's coming, the moment that he experiences him. And what Joseph chooses in that moment is not the someday and the heaven. Joseph chooses heaven to come to earth right now, in the moment. To have Christ come and infiltrate his life. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph made the decision to live in the moment and experience Christ right then. To not wait for the someday. He made the decision to have life with their baby in the purest form. I bet Joseph made thousands of decisions in his life. Can you imagine? I mean, think about the decisions you make every single day. I bet he made thousands of decisions in his lifetime, but that day, his decision was life. That he would experience life, that he would get to experience the Messiah. He chose life. He chose life for himself. He chose life for Mary, and ultimately in that decision, Joseph chooses life for the world. He makes a big decision that impacts you and me this very day. I don't know about you, but I sometimes get angry. Y'all are like, nah. I do. and I choose to get angry about silly things. And then I go and read Joseph's response and see that he did not choose anger while he could have. He chose love. Joseph chose to love kindness. He's not angry at God. He's not angry at Mary. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I think this is a remarkable story. It's a remarkable story about someone who chose to let God infiltrate their lives. So the question that I think Joseph leaves us with this morning is, how are you going to allow God to infiltrate your life? This Christmas, is it going to be another Christmas? Or are you going to let the Messiah change your world?